Chronicles of Narnia allow readers to encounter the Christian story as if it is for the very first time. In the scriptures, messengers come to us in two forms. Sometimes angelic creatures, but sometimes the messengers are prophets. They're normal people who God has given a message to. But in Narnia, it's the beavers. It's people like Mr. and Mrs. Beaver who come and they give the children the message they need to hear. They speak for the lion. They speak the prophecy that the kids need to understand. And at this point, the older kids had just arrived in Narnia for the first time. They had no idea what the significance of anything was, except that the beavers gave them the message. And in Advent, for us, it's both the angel Gabriel, as well as prophets like John the Baptist, who are the messengers of God and who announce the beginning of Jesus' ministry among us. Look at Malachi chapter 3. God says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. When I think about this passage, I can think about John the Baptist. And of course, it talks about this messenger who's going to prepare the way. This is the one who is like the refiner's fire. It takes people like us, and the refiner's fire takes that silver and gets rid of all the impurities. The messenger is also one who points out the things that act like launderer's soap, it says. And of course, as I'm reading that this week, all I could think about was Tide Pods. And then all I could think about was like kids eating Tide Pods, which is just like the dumbest thing ever. By the way, I make my own laundry soap. I take laundry soap that's free and clear, and I add scents to it and different things to it because it seems like everything on the shelf is like very feminine, and I'm just sort of tired of it. So right now, I'm looking to start and launch a business one day, manly laundry soap. This is a real thing I do, so... You thought the thing about the pipes last week was disturbing? Yeah, it's like laundry soap. That's the message of John the Baptist. It takes us, it scrubs us, it cleans us. And sometimes when you get a good scrub and it even hurts a little bit. And sometimes when the refiner's fire comes and it wants to get rid of the impurities, it hurts a little bit. That's the role of John the Baptist. And Advent is the story of two births. Two births. We need to remember our whole story. One of the births is the messenger. The other birth is the Savior. And these are cousins who recognize each other even in the womb. They were born with a purpose. And by the way, so were you. They were born on purpose. They were born for a purpose. And whether you live up to that is a completely other thing. But you were born with a purpose as well. In the Lutheran Church, we hardly speak of politics. In fact, we don't think it's our business to speak of politics. In the Lutheran Church, we don't think politics saves a thing. All it does is it orders the disorder. All politics does is organizes the chaos. We are looking for a Savior. We point for a Savior. And so we don't speak to politics, unlike other church bodies. But for one particular thing we do speak to, we speak to pro-life. We speak to pro-life impartially because of two things. Number one, this story from Scripture of John the Baptist leaping in the womb. John the Baptist is here on purpose by God and for a purpose, and so are you. And John the Baptist appears to already have faith in Jesus. Jesus, the embryo, John the Baptist is sold out that this is the Savior of the world. And so that's number one. But number two is this. We believe that God has created all life on purpose for a purpose. And so all life is sacred, which is why in the Lutheran Church, we're not going to speak to politics almost ever, but we will speak to life in all forms. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And if you just look at that reading, either in your bulletin or on the screens, I want to point out three very essential words that happen in this reading. Three words that are very, very important. The first word is the word "with." God is with you. God is with you. The word Emmanuel is spoken around Christmas. It means God with us. And I like to tell people that Jesus' middle name is with. Jesus with Christ. He is Christ with us. He is Jesus who is with us. This is God with mankind. His middle name is with. And here with Mary, when the angel is saying that God is with you, literally saying God is in you, in her womb, in her belly. What a precious gift. Number two, a second word is a Greek word. It's the word that we translate sometimes highly favored. It's kakeratomene. Kakeratomene. We translate it highly favored. But this is the only time in Scripture that we find this word. And the other time that we find this word in a different form is Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, the translation would say something like, God's grace, which he freely graces you with. So it's this amazing time in Ephesians 1 where Paul is trying to explain to you how big the gospel is and how much God's salvation means for you. And the only way he can express it is another form of the same word. He's saying God's grace, which he freely graces you with. And so in a way, when we say that Mary is highly favored, what we really need to say is she is highly graced. She's being saved through childbirth. She's highly graced. The full grace of God is within her. Somehow this word just stacks meaning upon meaning. And then other than these two references, we don't find it in Scripture. And then number three, the last word I want to point out is where Mary says, may it be to me fulfilled. The word fulfilled. Here's Mary. She's an unwed mother. She's young. And I believe she's no doubt fleeing the judgment of her family. She doesn't trust the people in her village now that she's pregnant. She doesn't want the word to get out. And so she's not sure what to do. And she flees to Elizabeth. She goes to Elizabeth, her cousin, maybe her aunt. She goes to her because she trusts her. And she's just not sure how to process what God has done. She knows she didn't do anything wrong. But she's not sure how to process this. And maybe Elizabeth was the spiritual leader within their family. Maybe Elizabeth was the one who was wise or prayerful or whatever reason, she's safe. And so the Scripture makes it pretty clear that Mary takes off, she flees from her home to go down to the hill country, to the place where people wouldn't really know her. And she goes to stay with Elizabeth. She wants God's word to be fulfilled, but she also knows it's scary. And so when she says fulfilled, Mary's taking a lot of risk. And when she gets down to Elizabeth, what's the first thing that Elizabeth says when she sees Mary? She says, now, girl, look at that mess you got yourself into. No, that's not what she said, right? What's the first thing that Elizabeth says when she sees pregnant virgin Mary? She prophesies. She speaks the word of the Lord to her. Oh, and by the way, Elizabeth didn't know she was pregnant. Mary hadn't told her yet. And yet Elizabeth prophesies the word of God upon her cousin, or maybe she's really her niece. She says, you have been blessed. This is a blessing. Wait, having a child out of wedlock is a blessing? This is a blessing. You are blessed, and that child in you, Mary, is a blessing to the world. She's a messenger. See, that's the thing. She's the same as John the Baptist. She's the same as the angel Gabriel. Maybe she's more important than either of them. Because angels can come and tell you some stuff. Or you can read in the Bible something that God's word is telling you. But it's a little bit different when you're in the throes of something and somebody that you love and you trust comes to you and says, hey, the Lord's blessing you. Because they can hug you and they can make it personal and they can stand by you and they can defend you. No. The Lord is all over you. When the word of God comes through somebody like Elizabeth, she's a messenger. She's just as much prophetic as the angel Gabriel, just as much prophetic as John the Baptist. And she reminds Mary of God's purpose for her life. And I'm going to tell you, we all need that person in our life. Who's your Elizabeth? Who's your Elizabeth? Because she helps Mary understand her own God encounter. Elizabeth is Mary's uplifter, her discerner, her guide, her mentor. And the scriptures tell us Mary stayed with her for 3 months because apparently she needed that much mentoring, that much guiding, that much protecting, that much reminding that what has happened here is on purpose and you have been given a purpose by God. And this is going to change the world. And Mary needed 3 months to soak that message up from her cousin Elizabeth, her motherly wisdom. And most of all, she just needed Elizabeth to help her define her call. What is it that God's asking of me? Help me define my call. Because if you will, Mary is playing perhaps the most important role of any woman in history. Mary's playing the most important role of any human in history who's not the Son of God. She has to hold, protect the Lord Jesus for 9 months. The most blessed of women is she. The most blessed of people is Mary. That's why she had to spend 3 months with Elizabeth. N.T. Wright, a famous bishop, professor in England, professor at Galore, who I've read so many of his books, he says this: God's purposes and plans are first revealed in a private meeting between two women on the edge of society. And usually we don't pay that much attention to Elizabeth, but she plays a vital role in Mary's story. She's a prophet. She's a messenger. Just like Mr. and Mrs. Beaver are a messenger to the kids, Elizabeth is a messenger to Mary, so that no matter what's going on, no matter what kind of difficulty or pain or what kind of fear that she has, she's making sure that Mary stays on the right path on what God's plan is for her. So who's your Elizabeth? Who's your Mr. and Mrs. Beaver? Who's the one that's speaking the Lord in your life and helping just guide you a little bit? Because we all need that person. We all have a calling from God. We all have a purpose that God gives us. But sometimes it takes someone else with different eyes and different ears who helps us discern what it is that God wants from us. So who is your Elizabeth, and what song is this person placing on your life? Funny thing is, the first Christmas carols, the first Advent praises of joy, they come from these two ladies. These are the first poets of our Christmas carols. And what's the first Christmas carol that Mary speaks? The Magnificat, right? That's the first Christmas carol. The angel comes to her, and Mary's Magnificat is born. And she writes this Christmas carol, this Advent song, to her Savior that's going to be born in her womb. By the way, of the 381, I counted, of the 381 English Christmas carols, Mary is mentioned 27% of the time. And not just Mary, sometimes the word is the Virgin, sometimes it's Mary, sometimes it's the mother, sometimes it's just the woman, but we know it's referring to Mary. If you take the 381 English Christmas carols, Mary is mentioned in 27% of them, which I thought was a little low. The shepherds and the angels are mentioned in 28% of them, so a little bit more than Mary. The Magi, the wise men, are mentioned in just a little bit over 13% of them. So a little bit underneath Mary. But what's funny is whenever you have the shepherds, the angels, or the Magi mentioned in a carol, they tend to be mentioned in multiple stanzas. Whereas when you have like Mary mentioned, she typically gets like one verse. Like she gets one stanza and it mentions the part of the virgin birth, and then it kind of moves over, you know, moves on into the manger. And when I thought about this, I kind of thought, if I'm Mary, I think I want a little more mention. I mean, Advent is the story of 9 months of Mary's womb. Advent is the story of 9 months of Mary's faithfulness and Mary and Joseph's protection. And Mary and Joseph's going to Bethlehem and that journey and how hard that would have been. It's 9 months of Mary's womb and Jesus being born essentially in an animal stall. It's 9 months of Mary's grit Joseph's courage and both of their faith, I think I'd want a little more mention. But if we really think about it, that's the point of a messenger. Messengers point to the message, right? Messengers point to the message. And so Mary probably doesn't even want to be the focus. Mary wants to be a messenger who points to the message. Take a look at one of the projectors in the back. Just take a look real quick. The point of the projector isn't to look at the projector. The point of the projector is to look at what it projects. That's how angels work. That's how prophets work. That's how the messengers work. That's how Mr. and Mrs. Beaver work. The point isn't to appreciate them. The point is to appreciate what they point to, the message of what's happening. And I think that's the beauty of Elizabeth and Mary and John the Baptist and these stories that we focus on during the season of Advent. Now, when you think about this, of course, with the angel Gabriel, he is the chief heavenly messenger in the Bible. He's the one that always seems to come from heaven to announce the coming Jesus. Now, there's lots of humans that announce the coming Jesus, John the Baptist, many of the prophets, Isaiah, Micah, and others. But Gabriel is the chief heavenly announcer, the messenger that Jesus is coming. And he announces it specifically to three people. In the Old Testament, he announces it to Daniel. Gabriel comes to Daniel. And then in the New Testament, he goes to Zechariah. That's John the Baptist's dad. And Gabriel announces it to Zechariah. And then Gabriel comes to Mary, and Gabriel announces it to Mary. To Daniel, to Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, and then to the Virgin Mary. Now, tradition also tells us that the angel Gabriel is going to come back and is going to be the one who blows the trumpet of the Lord when the Lord comes back. When the resurrection of the dead happens, the scriptures tell us that the angel of the Lord is going to blow the trumpet of the Lord, and then we're all going to rise out of the ground. I don't care if you're in a casket. I don't care that if you were sent out to sea like a Nordic hero and they shot flaming arrows and they lit. That's how I'm going, by the way. And they're going to shoot arrows. It doesn't matter how you go. The angel Gabriel is going to come back. And tradition tells us he's going to blow that trumpet of the Lord. And when he blows the trumpet of the Lord, all this dust and all this ash is all going to come back together. And you're going to be resurrected. Your soul's not going to go up to heaven. You're going to be resurrected, the scripture tells us. And in fact, who here is a Longhorn fan? Who here? Longhorn fans know this the best. Because we wrote a song about it. The eyes of Texas are upon you till Gabriel blows his horn, right? Yeah, we even write it into some of our Texas songs. We write it into some of our American songs that the Gabriel is going to blow his horn and the resurrection of the dead is going to happen. That's what Advent is all about for you. That's the season of Advent. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, they know their place before Aslan. They know their place. And we need to see ourselves as messengers as well of this good news of great joy that is for all people. We need to be the ones who say, "For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord." That's our message. Our message is the free gift of salvation for all who would believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your message to be sent to the world. The angels of Christmas predict and they show what life can be like if God is in our world. Help us be the messengers of heaven in a world broken with sin and lonely for love. And may this Christmas season announce the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world. And as the Christmas lights grow brighter, may the love in our hearts grow as well. Lord, in your mercy.